It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Washington, D.C. and Pittsburgh have a common trait of being built right by the water with very old infrastructure. And when it became necessary for D.C. to improve its water and sewage systems, like Pittsburgh, the nation's capital opted for some very gray options. Tunnels and pipes were the main solution to stormwater and sewage overflows. But George Hawkins, the general manager of D.C. Water, managed to convince the district to go green by promoting green infrastructure options for dealing with stormwater overflows. Washington, D.C. is working to become a model of sustainable infrastructure by saving money and resources while fulfilling the EPA consent decree for the Clean Water Act. This week, Hawkins brings his green infrastructure experience to the Steel City for the Clean Rivers Campaign speaker series, Beyond Tunnel Vision. He joins us now in Studio A. George Hawkins, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
If you'd like to join the conversation, call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. You can email us at esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. What are your thoughts? Can Pittsburgh solve its overflow problems, its stormwater and sewage overflows with green infrastructure? Add your voice to the conversation, 412-246-2002. George Hawkins, what is the condition of the sewer infrastructure in D.C.?
Like Pittsburgh, it's pretty old. We had a water main break over the weekend that I was at over the morning, and it was a water main put in 1897. The average age of a water main in the district's about 78 years old, and the sewer lines are older than that. That's very common in the older cities, particularly in the East and the Midwest. And what the design feature that's the same in Pittsburgh as it is in the district is that when sewer mains were being put in around the turn of the last century, they take both sanitary flow from a building.
Okay, wait a minute. We're talking about the turn of the 19th century, right?
19th century.
To the 20th.
So 1910, 1920,
we're talking 1897, predating the Teddy Roosevelt administration.
Absolutely. These go way back. And at the time, this was a much better alternative. In Washington, D.C., there was untreated wastewater going through a canal that paralleled what is now the mall. And so that was a horrendous outcome. So the alternative of putting it into a sewer pipe was much better. But the design was called combined sewers because it takes both stormwater off the street. So you're walking down the street, you see the rain falling, it goes into the storm drain. You wonder, where does it go? In the older part of Washington, D.C., it goes into the very same pipe that sanitary sewage flow from a building goes into. That's why it's called combined sewer.
Now, doesn't sound very clean.
Well, it's better than going into a canal or directly into the river. And those combined sewers generally go right to a treatment plant. And in Washington, D.C., okay, the big treatment plant is called Blue Plains. That's better than the alternative if the alternative is just straight sewage going to the river.
Yes.
The problem is, in a rainstorm, those pipes fill up. Just like you sometimes see in a movie where someone's caught underground in the pipe, then the rain starts falling and it all flows in. The water coming off the street goes into the storm drain. It goes into that sewer pipe, and it starts to fill the pipe. At some point, if the storm is big enough, the pipe will fill to the top, and now there's no more capacity in the pipe. So you have to let an overflow out of that pipe, or else you'll have sewage going back into buildings and rainfall going back onto streets. So the design is called a combined sewer overflow. It's on purpose, but it is just what you originally started with. It's untreated sewage and untreated rainfall that's been mixed together in this pipe that is overflowing to the river because the pipe filled up with so much rainfall.
And this sounds – well, I'll ask you, how similar is this to what we have in Pittsburgh?
That's exactly what you have. Yeah. 750 communities around the country have combined sewer systems. So what we're all facing is how do we solve that problem? Nobody wants today to have a combination of raw sewage and stormwater going directly to our rivers. We want to solve that problem. And there's a variety of different approaches. Sort of the standard approach for the last several decades has been what I would call a gray approach. I don't mean that to criticize it. It does have some positive attributes. But what I mean by gray is that you build an even larger pipe. In our case, it would be giant underground tunnels, which instead of that flow overflowing to the river would go in a drop shaft, would drop down the drop shaft, in our case about 10 stories, to a giant underground tunnel where it would be captured and then taken down to the treatment plant. So essentially you're just building a much, much bigger combined sewer pipe underneath the existing system. So that's a tunnel solution. And it works pretty well. You know it's going to capture.
And that seems to be what they're looking at here.
That's what a lot of cities are looking at. And that is an option. And it should be an option on the table. And its positive attributes is you know exactly how it works.
And that's gray infrastructure.
That's gray.
So what is – for people who don't understand what it means to be green or to have green infrastructure, in this case, what is the green infrastructure option?
The green infrastructure is something that I think people can really identify with, why we're very excited for it in the district. The attribute of gray has some advantages, but you don't see it. People don't know it's there, and it's incredibly expensive. So it's a challenge to our customer base to spend the kind of money it takes to build something they don't see and is not part of their world. Green infrastructure. Remember, the issue is capturing stormwater. We don't want it to go into the pipe so it overflows to the river. So the question is, are there other techniques to capture the stormwater other than a deep underground tunnel? And what we know is that there's a lot of new techniques to do that that can also improve the quality of the city all around us at the street level. I'll give you an example. We had a major developer come to DC Water and present a plan to capture as much rainwater by redesigning city streets to have a porous pavement, so a pavement that water can sink through.
It absorbs the water.
It will absorb the water. The water will be captured under the street and then fed into tree boxes that will line the street. So, and they said, we can tell you in quantity exactly how much water we'll treat and capture for you if you tell us how many streets you're willing to redo. And if we do enough streets, we'll capture more rainwater than your tunnels based on how many streets, because it's, again, a mathematical calculation. That would change those streetscapes. You'd all of a sudden have green along those streets rather than gray because all that water would go into tree boxes. You can use green roofs, bioswales, green alleys. There's a lot of techniques that adds green to the city landscape where we all live, right at the surface, rather than an underground tunnel.
Is that cheaper than the gray infrastructure, the underground tunnels and all of that?
We haven't been promoting it as necessarily cheaper or more expensive. I hate to see you such an answer, but it all depends. What we're seeking to do in Washington, D.C. is a full-scale $30 million pilot to experiment with green infrastructure. Remember, the advantage of the tunnel, and there are advantages, is you know exactly how much it will capture because it's a mathematical question of the size of the pipe. Mm-hmm. And you know you're going to maintain it because it's under the ground and it's yours. Green infrastructure has all these advantages. It's on the surface, quality of life, energy savings. It's going to shade, habitat, all sorts of benefits. But the question is, how much rainwater are we going to capture and how long will it last? What are the maintenance costs? So what we want to do is do a $30 million pilot. Answer all those questions at the same level that you would know for an underground tunnel because the advantages are so many. Let me just mention another very significant advantage of green infrastructure if we can prove it works. But it may be just as expensive. So we're not touting it as necessarily saving money.
But if it's just as expensive but it's more healthy for the environment, then wouldn't that justify going in that direction?
Absolutely. I mean, what we want to do is if we're going to send – in, I know it's a similar multi-billion dollar project in Pittsburgh as a multi – $2.6 billion estimated project in Washington, D.C. It's the most significant public project of public funds that we're going to do in Washington, D.C. since Metro. I mean, it's a massive undertaking for our ratepayers. And we want to make sure we make the right decision before we make a financial commitment that's going to last for 100 years. Mm. So let's get it right. It may mean we need a little more time now to evaluate how it works, how well it works, how cost-effective it is. We're not necessarily expecting we'll save any money. We do know that the city at a level where people live would be transformed – and that we could change the landscape of our city in a way that will affect it for a generation. And we're excited about that prospect and want to make sure we've experimented with it before we make a decision.
It's Central Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Our guest is George Hawkins, general manager of DC Water, talking about green infrastructure options as a way of handling stormwater and sewage overflows. Certainly a problem that we've had to deal with here in Pittsburgh. If you have a comment or question for our guest, we'd like you to join the conversation. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. Are green infrastructure options important to you? What would you like to see Pittsburgh do to handle stormwater and sewage overflows in the future? Decisions are being made now that will impact your life almost immediately and certainly well into the future. Let's get your input. 412-246-2002. 2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. What is it going to take, George Hawkins, to have the EPA be agreeable to what you want to do?
That's a great question. I used to be an EPA enforcement lawyer, so I've worked from that angle. And what EPA is really coming to the table with is a perspective of water quality. These projects are being done under the Federal Water Pollution Control Act, or Clean Water Act as we know it. And so their main focus is, are you going to clean the water or not? So the reason we're doing the initiative in Washington, we think we can demonstrate that the green infrastructure will deliver clean water. It'll capture the water so it doesn't go in the pipes and causing the overflow into the river. And we want to be able to demonstrate that. Our belief is that US EPA and the Department of Justice will be satisfied with a green infrastructure outcome as long as we can deliver on the water quality outputs that are necessary. But then you get all these other benefits that come with it. So that's why we're heading in this direction. EPA is asking tough questions. They want to know that this is going to work. What we've constructed our project is a multi-year initiative so that every step, completely transparent, every step of the project along the way, we want everybody watching, assessing, measuring, and monitoring so that we all see exactly the same performance data, maintenance data. How much does it cost to maintain? I'll tell you a quick story. When I first was working in D.C. For a Department of Environment, the agency I used to run, I was overseeing the stormwater management of the parking lots for the Nationals baseball park. 19 parking lots. And I was demanding that stormwater containment be done just like we're talking here. It was a tough argument, but we won. So green infrastructure's put in all these parking lots.
And that's an area that's right in, unlike a lot of the stadiums in around America and certainly in Washington, they're sort of outside of the district, but you're talking about right in the middle of D.C. in the Tidal Basin area.
Right in the middle of D.C. You can stand in the stadium and throw a baseball into the Anacostia River. It is right on the river.
So this proves, if you can do it there, that you can totally overhaul an urban sewage overflow or stormwater overflow problem in an urban area, right?
What we discovered was several things, and these are the kinds of questions that we need to answer. Yes, you could do that. Those parking lots are designed with green in mind. Several years later, because I lived down by the ballpark for several years, we had to get a little tractor to dig them out because the sediment was flowing off the parking lot and filling up the bioswale where the green magic was happening. So we knew we needed a little tractor. We needed employees to do that work. There's a great jobs component to this, which is not necessarily part of deep tunneling work, which is heavy engineering firms. You're redoing landscapes. You're redoing streets. Those are jobs that are accessible to the people in your city that really need them. But we need to answer the questions. How many jobs? What equipment do we need? Where's it going to be housed? Who's going to have the budget? Those kind of operational questions need to be answered for this alternative, just like they would be answered for a tunnel. And that's why we're doing our initiative.
Based on your experiences in D.C., what recommendations do you have for Pittsburgh? What can we take? You know, it's almost like the golf analogy where you watch somebody putt and you watch where the ball goes when they hit it and you learn from them. As we in Pittsburgh monitor what you're doing in D.C., what can we take from your experiences?
I would say a number of things. And first, I enjoy being here in Pittsburgh. It's a beautiful city. I've spent some time walking around Pittsburgh, and you should be proud of what the city has done to really make itself vibrant again. The biggest single point that I always stress in D.C. to the extent I can, and I think that's relevant here, is you're making a century-long decision in this consequence of great significance. Eliminating combined sewer overflows is something we all agree on. But billions of dollars of expenditure, there's going to be hard to find that kind of public money for any other project of this scale for the next decades. So let's get it right, and let's spend some time now. If green infrastructure can work, it can handle the problem, it can deliver the kind of jobs permanently, because you're going to need a maintenance person 20 years from now to maintain this green infrastructure, not just today. It's going to add energy conservation savings. It's going to cut greenhouse gases. It's going to quality of life if we can demonstrate that it works. If it doesn't, you can always do the tunnels. We know how to engineer those, and they do work. So I'm not critical of that option. But for Washington, D.C., with such a huge expenditure, let's get it right. So I'd say to Pittsburgh, take the time. You've got a beautiful city. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to make the investment the right way. Let's get it right.
412-246-2002 for your input. If you want to get in on the conversation with George Hawkins, General Manager of DC Water, are the gray infrastructure options – I mean, I was asking about whether the green infrastructure meets the EPA standards. What about the gray?
The gray – the question of gray is in any pipe, no matter how big you build it, at some point it will fill up.
Right.
So there's always a question of how big any piece is. And remember, there is a third alternative, which is not gray or green, but some hybrid that has pieces of both. It could be that you build tunnels that are somewhat smaller or maybe closer to the surface and then put some of the funds into green. We're reasonably interested when we are setting up our initiative in Washington. It could be green, it could be gray, or a combination of the both. So there will be elements of each. The advantages of gray is that you know what you can capture and you know how to maintain it because it's underground and it's your piece of machinery. The disadvantage is nobody sees it, and it's not part of their life, and it's hidden. Like so much of our infrastructure on the water and sewer side, no one thinks about us. Because when you turn the tap on, where's that water come from? And when it goes down the drain, where does it go? Nobody knows. You do something with green infrastructure, it becomes part of the community. What we have found is that when people have green infrastructure on their street and they start helping to maintain it, they become fiercely protective of it because it's part of their neighborhood. It really adds to their life as well as doing all these other environmental benefits. There's some real fantastic outcomes that can come with green infrastructure.
Now, you've had this experience of being involved with the EPA, and the EPA is, we hear criticism of it coming from parts of Washington, certainly from the House of Representatives, which right now is tends to be a little bit more conservative and somewhat less environmentally inclined. And they're saying that, you know, the EPA is imposing impossible standards in certain areas. Is this one of them?
I think EPA is in a very significant era of change. I grew up in Cleveland, not too far from here in Pittsburgh, and remember I actually visited the Cuyahoga River in 1969 when I was a kid growing up in Cleveland Heights, the same year it burned for a week. So I'm very familiar with how what cities like Pittsburgh and Cleveland lived through.
And that's no urban legend. That river really was on
fire.
It
sure did. A spark from a train crack set it on fire. But the challenge that we had then was to reduce pollutants from facilities like we run. And that's a gray infrastructure that works. So EPA has been doing sensational work in cleaning up our water bodies. The question now is, are the techniques that we have relied on for the last 30 years the techniques we want to use for the next 30 years? And that's a changeover. And it's particularly hard to change when you've been successful. Our efforts to clean up water here at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, in Washington has been spectacular by removing pollutants mainly with gray infrastructure. Now the question is, having done so well up till now, we should celebrate that victory, but are we making the decisions today that is going to shine for the next 30 to 40 years? And my judgment is, sure, we'll still use gray. We still need treatment facilities. But this green infrastructure is an opportunity to change the landscape for a generation. Let's be sure we look at it before we make these unbelievably huge public decisions.
412-246-2002. We have a caller on the line who's been waiting patiently, David from Allegheny County. David, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. You're on with George Hawkins.
Yeah, hi, George. I wanted to ask you about the green infrastructure, and clearly it's designed to deal with issues on a sort of a daily average basis, but you're talking about Pittsburgh and D.C. I know that occasionally D.C. gets hit by the odd hurricane coming up the East Coast. I mean, here in Pittsburgh, we know very well what happens when you have a sudden downpour and bad infrastructure causing, in some cases, death. Are these green infrastructure systems designed to handle emergency situations, or are we going to have, you know, tree boxes shooting water into the streets?
That's a great question, and unfortunately, it's one when you're in the infrastructure business that almost none of our solutions are designed to handle at the margins. We know that, for example, that our big tunnels, which we are building actually some of the tunnels in the district no matter what, so we are doing a hybrid solution. But even those tunnels with a big enough storm will fill up and will have overflows to the river. whatever infrastructure you have has the hardest time dealing with weather at the very edge margins. And it's one of the questions we want to look at. What we can clearly handle the best with green infrastructure is sort of a daily average rainstorm, not the deluge that comes in, because the land can't absorb it fast enough. So one of the issues we need to answer as part of our experiment and initiative is, how do we handle the storm surges that happen in the periodic but very intense storms? That is a challenge, I must say, to our biggest sewer lines, even as it's a challenge to green infrastructure. My guess, if I had to prognosticate where we end up in the district, is that we're going to have a hybrid solution. We're going to have some tunnels, we're going to have some green infrastructure, and they're going to back each other up, but it's not going to be all in one basket or the other.
One of Pittsburgh's biggest ongoing problems, and by the way, thank you, David, for that call. One of Pittsburgh's biggest ongoing problems is how to deal with the complexities of stormwater systems that run across municipalities and between public and private sewer lines. So, for example, as you were just saying, as you try to come up with a hybrid solution, would a bill, say, for example, like the one that was just approved in the Pennsylvania Senate, which would allow local governments to enter into stormwater authorities, would something like this work to streamline the process? Because if you have all these different little municipalities with their own authority and you can't bridge the gap or cover a vast area with one system, that could create problems.
I think there's no doubt about it. And having spent a lot of my career working in New Jersey, which has a similar many, many municipalities trying to come together, I'm aware of the challenge. What we have at DC Water in our wastewater side, or I like to call it enriched water because there's a lot of value in that flow that's coming to us. We're also building a huge power plant to turn our solid material that's coming off the waste into energy. Another good idea. But put that aside, we have a 725-square-mile service area, about the same size as Allegheny County. And the question that has enabled the counties involved, which are in two different states, we've got Montgomery County, Prince George's County, Fairfax. We actually serve Loudoun County, parts of Arlington County, and Washington, D.C. So we have many jurisdictions that come in to the district and agreement that governs it. And the bottom line why that agreement has worked is that we're able to show it's cost effective. The treatment that we're able to deliver across these municipalities makes more sense for the communities to come together to do it as a whole rather than each one doing it separately and paying their fixed costs over again and having a different facility and having their own billing department. No, we can consolidate and regionalize and realize savings. So on a cost-effective basis, it's cheaper for us to go across jurisdictions. And we're finding that the solutions work as well. If you're going to do green infrastructure, you've got to do it in the place where the rain falls. So the money just doesn't get spent where the gray infrastructure is built. You get to do some of this work in almost every jurisdiction, which means the benefits can also be dispersed in many directions. So there's some advantages to green infrastructure on that front. But having multiple jurisdictions is definitely a challenge, no question about it.
And are you familiar with the Washington Boulevard situation where there was an overflow there? I want to say that it was 2 years ago. Four people tragically drowned because of the water that built up there from a storm and sewage overflow. Cars were driving through there, and they were literally swept away by a torrent of water. What is the that is something we're grappling with in this city. What is the solution, do you think, to that problem?
Well, we have very similar problems. In last year, we had four floods. Fortunately, no one was there was no fatalities, but we had very serious sewer and stormwater flooding in a neighborhood called Bloomingdale and Troy Park, and basements being flooded with sewage and streets being flooded, car floating away down the street. And again, we have a combination of solutions. We are, in fact, building a tunnel in that case because we need to get immediate stormwater containment in a short period of time. We're also doing rain barrels, green development on the street. We are putting in back water valve preventers, which prevents storm sewage going back into buildings. So it's not any one solution that's part of it. When you've got a public health threat of that nature, we're using all of the solutions, and they all back each other up. The stormwater helps at the margin. We need immediate capture in tunnels. DC Water is not against tunnels. We are favor of tunnels when they're the right engineering solution for a problem at hand. And we use it in concert with green development, and I think that's, in some cases, the way it works best.
Let's take one last phone call from Holly in Oakland. Holly, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
In your plan, you spoke of putting permeable pavement on the streets. Does this also include the use of such pavement on sidewalks and parking lots? And if so, do you have any way of having putting in incentives to help business owners and private homeowners replace their sidewalks with permeable pavement?
Holly, that's a great question, and the answer is yes. In the way we are funding the main project, which we call Clean Rivers, very similar to the campaign here in Pittsburgh, is we have something called an impervious area charge on everybody's bill who pays a bill in Washington, D.C. And that charge is based on how much impervious cover you have on your facility. And we believe part of our solution is going to have to be an incentive fund that allows stormwater to be contained on private property, not just on public lands. So that would create a financial incentive. We haven't put all this in place yet. This is what we're building. I don't think we're going to ever capture enough stormwater unless everybody works together. And then we have to have arrangements to know that that private enterprise is going to maintain it, like the ballpark parking lots for the Nationals, to go back where we started. The ballpark keeps manages those parking areas and has to dig out the sediment that builds up in the bioswale so they keep working. But it's in their interest to do so. It's on private property, but it's to everybody's benefit. So we can do that, and I think it's going to have to extend into private areas in order to succeed.
Holly, thank you for that phone call. We've come to time for this segment, but George Hawkins, General Manager of DC Water, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here in Studio A. It's been a fascinating conversation on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me. You have a beautiful city. I'm glad to be here.
Coming up, is there really such a thing as a Sports Illustrated cover jinx? With Sid the Kid on the SI cover this week, our sports guy Bob Dvorak tries to answer that question next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.